League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Alex Bregman is up after this year, the final year of his deal. Kyle Tucker is up after next year. Kyle Tucker, obviously, Kyle Tucker's a better player, in my opinion. But who is the more important player to extend? You hear him talk about Bregman, leader, captain, mound visits. You hear him talk about Tucker, one of the better all-around outfielders in all of baseball. You know, the price, to me, is going to be different. I don't think Bregman's going to be in the same stratosphere as Kyle Tucker. But who is the more important to extend? Is it Bregman or is it Tucker?
It's a tough question. To me, I would say that my answer, I lean Tucker. I would say Tucker simply because younger, chance to get more depending on what he wants. Yeah, that's going to be a higher price tag. But if you can, you know, solidify that Tucker and Yordan are going to be in the top part of your lineup, you're going to have Altuve for a couple more years, and he's been a pretty good table setter. Then and you have Yiner still, that the top of your lineup is still pretty damn good. And then you go and try and, you know, you backfill for third base and however you want to replace Bregman. But we know that the slow start was a little longer this year. We know he's a little longer in the tooth. Yes, his defense means something, but if I have to pick between the two, I'm going to take Tucker.
Tucker's the better player. I have no argument there. Bregman will be cheaper, won't cost as much. What makes this difficult for me is the position. I think it's more difficult to find a third baseman than it is to find an adequate corner outfielder. I think you can find some corner outfield bats that can be an above average hitter. I don't know if you can find that at third base, because what are your options if Bregman's gone? You're looking internally at Bryce Matthews, who's young and only has a handful of games in AAA and hasn't played third base a ton. Shea Whitcomb doesn't look like he can handle the position there defensively. Zach DiZinzo, I'm not sure he can handle the position defensively. They've been very reluctant to play him at third base at the big league level. So I'm not sure that you have, like, those are your internal options. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of those are good options. You look at free agency. What's out there in free agency after Bregman? Really, the only one that's decent, because Matt Chapman has already been signed, is Eugenio Suarez, who is playing currently with the Diamondbacks. And he's had some numbers. I mean, he's had a better offensive year than Bregman. And his defensive numbers are pretty good. I wouldn't – if you end up with Suarez, I'm okay with that. But it does give you an idea of how vacant the position is in terms of options should Bregman go. If Kyle Tucker leaves at the end of next season, you can find some bats. Like, it's not the most difficult thing in the world to find some bats in the corner outfield. I still got to lean Tucker.
All that
Kyle Tucker's just way better than Alex Bregman. So, like, Bregman has a lot of arguments that favor him in this conversation. He's just not the player that Kyle Tucker is.
No, because I thought about that from the Bregman aspect of it, that, you know, it is just going to be a shorter-term contract, and it's tougher to find a third baseman that does plays both sides of the ball like he does. But the argument, too, is when you look at it, I know people are going to say, well, you played without Tucker since he went down for 3 months, and you still found a way to win. You somehow were able to tread water a lot longer than you were supposed to. But at the end of the day, you got to believe that a healthy Kyle Tucker is going to put up some pretty mammoth numbers the way he was playing.
I also don't believe in signing Kyle Tucker to the extension that Kyle Tucker is going to want, though. So for me, it might be neither. I lean neither. If you had to tell me one, you have to pick one, Branham. You can't go neither, because I would go neither. It would be Tucker.
But then how do you answer that question in terms of how do you replace Kyle Tucker? Because
you have some outfield bats that are probably better suited in 2 years than you currently have third base bats. And again, free agency, you can find corner outfield bats that are above average offensive players. You can't really do that at third.
I don't know who's free coming up at this year, but it would be challenging based on how bad the depth was in their outfield already internally. I don't know that you have any guy that you'd feel comfortable replacing Kyle Tucker.
I mean, the internal option would be Melton.
Yeah, and I don't feel like Jacob Melton in his first year is going to put up.
Think he's going to be up next year. I think
he can be up. I don't think he's going to put up the kind of all-star numbers that you were getting from Tucker. So if you're trying to replace him short-term.
You're not really looking for an all-star to replace either one. I mean, that's going to be very difficult to find an all-star at either position.
But, I mean, you're looking at above-average third baseman, an all-star caliber outfielder. If you walk from both, I would think that one of the two positions, you want to get an above-average player for next year.
Well, I mean, Tucker's going to be around next year.
You're right. I mean, if you're just going to ride it out, yeah.
The corner outfielders that signed in baseball this year, like, you know, Lourdes Gurriel was okay. Travis Jerickson Profar was a corner outfielder who signed this year. Like, he was pretty good on a one-year deal. Cody Bellinger was a free agent this year. He had a pretty good year. Now, he signed for a lot of money, but pretty good. Teoscar Hernandez, another player. Like, that just gives you an idea. Shohei Ohtani didn't play outfield this year, but, you know, can in the future when he's not recovering from a torn UCL. So those are your outfielders in free agency this past year. You start to look at third baseman, Matt Chapman. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the end of the story. So free agency usually has more outfielders than it does third baseman. And I think that would go year by year. And if you forecast this year, the only real free agent third baseman, there's two. There's Suarez, there's Bregman, that's it. Like, there's going to be a lot more outfield options than there will be third base options. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Paul, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Paul?
Hey, fellas. Profar can play third base, too. He'll be a free agent after this season. But, you know, I tend to lean towards neither. Also, the realistic window of this team does not really extend past next year because you're going to lose either Framber or Tucker or both. So there's, to me, no reason to sign really probably any of them. And if you're going to sign two of the three, it should be Framber and Tucker because the farm system, you know, it's gone. There's nothing to trade. You're not going to be able to make deadline trades. So at some point, this team's going to have a rebuild. The question is, when is that going to happen? So my answer would be neither, but for sure, it would not be Bregman over Tucker. Bregman, the Astros have let go Carlos Correa at his peak. They let go George Springer at his peak. They let go Garrett Cole at his peak. Bregman's two or three years past his peak. Why throw good money? I won't say go after, but why throw more money at him? It doesn't make any sense. Tucker is still at his peak. But like you say, it's going to cost more, but, you know, it's also not my money. But realistically, it doesn't make sense to sign any of them unless you're going to do both Tucker and Framber.
Appreciate it, Paul. Yeah, there's a lot of arguments for Bregman, but at the end of the day, Tucker, to me, is the better player. Profar hasn't played third base since 2018. I know he came up as an infielder, was a utility guy. He really hasn't played a whole lot of infield in the last 6-7 years, especially at third base. So I don't know if that is an option at this stage of Jerickson Profar's career. And I would also disagree with the window. I don't like the window is going to be done in 2 years. And maybe I'm a homer. I will allow you to call me a homer. But I don't hate the foundation that the Astros have, even if those guys were to leave, Fromber, Tucker, Bregman, because you still have young players and Yiner Diaz, who I think is one of the better offensive catchers in all of baseball currently. Now, I do want to move him to first base. Say what you will about Pena's bat. Jeremy Pena is a top half shortstop in Major League Baseball that is young and under club control. You look at the pitching staff, you have a lot of good pitchers that are also under club control. Hunter Brown's not going anywhere. Spencer Arrighetti, what you think of him in the future? I think he's at least a middle of the road rotation starter. What do you think of Luis Garcia coming back? Christian Javier's under contract. I think the Astros have a better foundation than people give them credit for. Yordan Alvarez, didn't even mention him. How could I forget? Yordan Alvarez is under club control for a decent amount of time. Now, the injuries bother me. So I actually think the foundation and the window is in a much better shape than a lot of people would say.
Yeah, I agree. That caught me immediately, that I think they can compete. At what level kind of is going to be determined by, depending on who you lose, how you replace them. And I was looking at the corner outfielders coming up for next year for free agency. And obviously Soto's going to be out of your price range. Mm-hmm. But Bellinger, Teoscar Hernandez, Michael Conforto, Haniger, I don't think he's going to be – Santander, who's going to get a lot of money.
People want him with the Astros. I've seen but he will be expensive.
And
right,
he's going to be expensive. But then if you go kind of in between Verdugo and Manuel Margot, if you're looking for a little more inexpensive.
Nothing burgers.
But basically, other than that, not a whole hell of a lot.
It's better in third, though.
Yes, for sure.
Better in third, though. Brian McTaggart, Yordan Alvarez getting better quickly and walking on a treadmill. I've never been more excited for somebody to be walking on a treadmill than Yordan Alvarez walking on a treadmill.
Hold on. Danger zone. We went through this with Kyle Tucker in June where he was running on a treadmill, and then all of a sudden he's not cleared for running 2 days later.
Check that damn treadmill.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the excitement that he's on a treadmill. And besides, do we really want Yordan on a treadmill? We don't want him hustling and running anyway.
Well, he's walking.
Yeah, you would think that it's probably to loosen it up.
I guess.
But to your point, it is very, very valid.
I don't want him on a treadmill.
I'm stealing that take. My bad. 6'4" Dubon, everyday player. I don't want him to be an everyday player, quite frankly. Pena to third base. Mm-mm. See, I don't think they're moving Pena to third and making Bryce Matthews their shortstop. If those two are your starting left side of the infield next year, I think it's Pena at short and Matthews at third,
Think about the fact that Pena, the reason why he's above average, too, is for shortstops, he can be an adequate hitter. At a third baseman, if you move him to third base, there's more offensive expectation.
Yeah, it's not as much as it used to be, but it is more than short. You're right. I think that's a really good point. 7560, keep Breggy and Tug. Bregman can play first base when he's old at 35. No, he can't. 5798, to me it's more important to extend Tucker. Bregman is great leadership, defense, plate discipline, but Tucker has superior power and speed with more years remaining in his prime. Tucker's easily the better player. There's no doubt about that. You have some of the peripheral arguments that would favor Bregman, but in terms of who is better, Tucker or Bregman, it's Kyle Tucker by a landslide. Bregman would be nice to have, but Tucker is our future. I don't think he's our future. I think he's gone after the end of next year. 7527, Tucker's baby shins must be protected. Fair point. Nick Ahmed would cost pennies and can play third and hit. That might not be a terrible idea. Any good base free agents coming up?
You want to throw up over the other two third basemen coming
What's
up?
What's a base free agent? With the free agents or in the...
With the free agents. Aside from the two you mentioned with Breggy and...
I looked at it the other day, but I forget.
Suarez? Yoan Moncada.
Oh, yeah. He's a super, super big prospect that never panned out.
They loved him. And Gio Urshela.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I
you
mean,
want
either,
to see your defense go down?
I would sign the less expensive of Bregman and Suarez. I wouldn't hate if you ended up with Suarez. I really wouldn't. Suarez isn't bad.
He's never really impressed me, but.
He hits dingers. He's a different hitter than Bregman. He's going to strike out more. He's not going to walk as much. But he's got some thump. And he's actually he's not a better third baseman. But he's a good third baseman. He's better than what people would say about he can handle his own at third. All right, Todd Callis, voice of the Houston Astros in a soggy Cleveland. Are they going to play baseball today? We'll talk to the voice of the Astros, Todd Callis, when we come back. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Got him! For the fourth year in a row, in the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champions.
Todd Callis, the voice of the Houston Astros, on the call. He's got spotty cell service in Cleveland. He was on the line, and then that Cleveland spotty cell service he dropped. A couple of updates on Yordan here from Chandler Rome. Yordan Alvarez has a brace on and is doing some work on the treadmill and weight room. There are still some boxes he has to check for the Astros to feel comfortable putting him on a postseason roster. That's from Chandler Rome of The Athletic. All right, let's go out to the HR&P guest line. Just play the highlight. Todd Callis, the voice of the Astros, calling the divisional championship. How fun of a moment is that for you professionally, TK? Another divisional title for the Astros?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, 8 straight playoffs, 7 elbows, being full-season championships in the AL West.
A Cleveland selfie. Cleveland rocks. It rocks TK's phone right off the hook, is what it does. Well, effort to get TK back, but having some spotty cell phone service in that terrible, terrible city. I'm sorry for all that I offended in Cleveland. But how do you take that news from Yordan? Brace on, still some boxes to check, still to feel comfortable for a postseason roster, like doing baseball activities. And then McTaggart says that Alvarez is getting better quickly walking on a treadmill.
I love it. I think you got four more days still before the time that you need him. And like I said, I expect him to play. I expect him to be good to go. And that's encouraging because we never know until we actually know. And a lot of times that's bad news. This time it seems like it's good news.
All right, TK's back on. The Cleveland, just a tough reception city. But TK, middle of that sitting, you were just talking about, you know, how cool it is to call another divisional championship.
Yeah, especially this year with all the trials and tribulations that the Astros went through. This one was pretty special. And to come from where they were, 12-24, and then in June, middle of June, being 10 games back, it's nice to have a weekend where they can get some rest and get ready for the postseason.
TK, we look at the final three games here in Cleveland. We didn't know if they were going to mean anything or not. Now they obviously don't. For you, how do you want to see it play out? How do you expect it to play out? And for the Astros, is there anything right now on the field that they need to see and kind of wrap up before they get to Tuesday?
So, kind of surprisingly, Joe mentioned during his press conference or right afterwards that Alex wants to play all 3 days, Reggie. He's the one guy with the elbow that you thought maybe they'd give a breather to. But it sounds like the elbow's fine, that Alex wants to be out there every day. Everybody else probably gets a day. Yonder Diaz is going to get a breather today. Jeremy Payne gets a breather. Jeremy, I think, has played every game since August 22nd, so he needs it. You're going to see the pitchers used sporadically. JV, as strange as it sounds, probably not part of the postseason plan, so he's probably going to be unlimited tomorrow. But I think Rennell tonight, Spencer Arrighetti on the bullpen either tonight or possibly tomorrow. And then they're going to just kind of give guys one game each of the leveraged bullpen guys. And not overtax them. So it's not really going to be playing the normal way for Joe, but it's going to resemble the normal team. They don't want to just give away these games because the Guardians, the Yankees, still are playing for something. The Yankees still trying to win the one seed, and the Guardians need to pick up two games on the Yankees to pick up that best seed in the American League.
Why do you think they sent down Whitcomb and brought up the Zinzo?
Yeah, that was a question that I really wasn't sure was answered during that session. They said they wanted to get Zach some ABs. Shea's going to go to Vegas and play in the championship game tomorrow for the Space Cowboys, but that's really the only place he can get ABs. So you're not sending Shea down to get a lot of ABs. He's only just going to get one game. He said it wasn't a reaction to what happened the other day, but you've got to wonder if they just wanted to have him clear his head. Go down to Sugarland, see what happens there on Saturday. Maybe take yourself a title home for the Space Cowboys after you won the AOS and get to celebrate a couple of times with two different teams. But they sound like they want to get Zach DeZenzo some at-bats. He's an Ohio kid, went to Ohio State, and here he is playing today in Cleveland. He might get another start in the series at first base, Joe said.
TK, how do you want it to play out now the rest of the way in the regular season across the American League as it relates to who the Astros might play? We know it could be the Tigers. It could be the Royals. Both have the pros and the cons, but if you had your druthers, or if you just want to go to who do the Astros match up better with, how would you like that to go?
I would like to see Minnesota win a game. The fact that the Twins got beat 2 out of 3 to the Marlins didn't help the Astros at all, because now it gives the Tigers and the Royals an opportunity to potentially save some of their best pitchers for the wild card series. You might see a Tarek Skubal now Tuesday at Minute Maid Park, or you might see a Paul Reagans or a Seth Lugo Tuesday now at Minute Maid Park. So I think the most important thing is the Twins win tonight. One of those other two teams, preferably the Royals, because we love AJ so much, and you'd have to get all the way to Sunday for the Tigers to need two, but that's probably not going to happen. They're going to beat the White Sox one of the next 2 days, you would think. So preferably the Royals lose tonight, the Twins win, and then at least the Royals will have to use Seth Lugo tomorrow. And then if you can get that to Sunday, even better. But I'm not counting on the Twins winning 2 and the Royals losing 2. But it could happen. Kansas City's playing Atlanta, and they're obviously going for their own wild card spot in the National League. But in terms of who I'd rather see between the Royals and the Tigers, I think if you break it down, there's benefits to both. If you would have asked me back in August, I would have said the Tigers are probably the team they'd rather play. But they are the hottest team in baseball right now, and they're playing with some serious mojo. So I'm not sure if you wish for the Tigers the way they've been rolling through the last month of the season.
Todd Callis, voice of the Astros, joining us on the HR&P guest line. I've seen a couple of articles trying to project and predict how these votes are going to go, or just their votes if they had one. Jason Stark leaving Framber Valdez off the top 5 in his AL Cy Young. Saw the same thing from Keith Law. If you had a vote, is Framber in your top 5?
Yeah. Yeah, he's somewhere 4 or 5, I think. But he's done enough for me that he's carried this rotation for most of the season. There's been spurts where Hunter Graham carried it, and there's spurts where Spencer Arrighetti was dominant in August. But from start to finish, Robert's been solid. It's kind of crazy that Rennell's not even thought of as a top five contender in the Cy Young voting. So his ERA is actually better than Fromber, and his batting average against is lower. But yes, I think Fromber's probably a 4 or 5 for me this year in the American League Cy Young.
TK, it's easy now as we get ready for the playoffs to keep talking about what's ahead, but what's behind us was nothing short of impressive in the way that this team did it. And I was curious from your perspective, covering every game like you do, what did you think was the actual turning point that got them to this point? A lot of people point to June 18th or 19th when they were at their lowest or when Altuve actually showed all that emotion, but I'm curious from your perspective.
Yeah, that's a few people that in the clubhouse, and the common thread seems to be that trip down to Mexico City kind of got them turned around, and they started playing more Astros baseball when they got back from that trip. Yordan Alvarez at the time, you know, they had just been swept against the Cubs. They came off a so-so series against the Nationals. It was their third leg of the road trip. They had a 2-game set down in Mexico City with an off day before and after. And as you guys probably remember, they lined up both teams, the Rockies and the Astros, on the line. And Yordan basically said, hey, let's treat this like a new opening day. Like, let's forget everything that happened. Today's our opening day, and let's start from here. And that's kind of where they took off. They still didn't play great up until the middle of June, and then they played much better from June 18th on when they took that 10-game deficit and moved it down to 1 game by the All-Star break. But early on, and they've been swept by the Cubs. They were really struggling, and I think that might have been one of the turning points was when they kind of bonded and went down to Mexico City, played 2 games, and had 2 days off on the front side and back side of that series. It kind of got them going the right direction.
Todd, I heard you talking earlier this week how the team has gone all out feeding you guys on the charters, and you were going to go all in on the trip to Cleveland since the final one of the year. How much food did you eat? What did you eat?
So they give us 2 options, and I took care of both of them. They give us a pre-flight option, but they put out some food. So I took care of some of that. And then at the once the flight was up in the air, I think it was like bacon chicken fajitas. And, yeah, it was a fresh job for me for sure. It's definitely going to be needed, an off-season needed to get back in the weight room and really get after it because these new flights that we're on is next level. I've never had better food ever before on a flight.
TK, any issues with the weather? We've heard some rumblings that maybe there's a chance that we might either get postponed or that the weather might play a factor this weekend.
Yeah, tonight right now it's raining, and so there's no BP for the Astros right now. Kind of came out of nowhere. It happens a lot here. You're right by the lake and get weather rolled in and out. So potential rain tomorrow, but I think the worst day between the two tomorrow, today or Sunday, is going to be Sunday. And if the Guardians aren't playing for a 1 seed, and obviously the Astros are already locked in the 3 seed, I don't think either team would be devastated. If they don't play on Sunday, obviously, if Cleveland's still alive for the 1 seed, that changes their perspective. But, yeah, I think tonight we're going to be okay. But right now it's raining, and it is supposed to clear out here in the next half hour or so, but no BP for the Astros on the field today.
I bet you Bregman would be upset if they rain out on Sunday. TK, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with us. Hopefully the weather cooperates in whatever way you want. I'm sure you wouldn't mind a day off on a Friday night in Cleveland. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Let's always have a good weekend.
It's Todd Kallas, Astro voice on the shin. More likely, Alex Bregman chasing numbers in the final year of his contract, or he just wants the reps and wants to be fresh for the postseason?
I think Alex Bregman is chasing numbers and wanting everybody to know his elbow's just fine.
That's what I was thinking. He wants to rack up those counting numbers. Hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm putting up numbers. He's at 26 homers, 74 RBI, so 30's probably... I mean, it's possible, but 30's probably out of the equation. I bet you that he really would like to get to 30.
Oh, no doubt. A lot of people doubted he could get to 25.
I know. I think Bregman's playing for the numbers. I don't think there's any doubt. Any doubt about that. I'm a little surprised he's playing third base, though, and not DHing. DeZinzo's DHing today. Bregman's playing third. And I understand that they might not think DeZinzo is the third baseman defensively. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, and I'm with you because I want the elbow to be 100% or as close as it can get on Tuesday. Plus, from what we just saw from Whitcomb, if we need somebody that might have a spot on the postseason roster, show me you can play some defense.
Yeah.
There's an audition.
Exactly. All right, 713-780-3776. It is the Bees. All right, coming up next, who said it? We try to turn the tide. And who said it? Brian will read us five quotes said by ESPN 97.5 talent, using that word loosely. And then we guess who said it. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before you go to the break, a word for Vanderford Air. Vanderford does so much for you. But basically, it's what they do before and after they do any work for you. That's the most important thing, because when you're dealing with a service company, you hate the companies, especially if you got like a home warranty program or something like that, where they show up, they just say that what they're going to do, they give you everything verbally real quickly, and then when they do the job, they do shoddy work, and at the end of the day, you've got nothing to back up what the he said, she said was in case something goes wrong. Vanderford Air backs up everything they do in writing, and everything's guaranteed. That's the most important thing. Lock in their phone number right now, 281-557-COOL, 281-557-COOL. Maybe you want to call them right now, and you can go to VanderfordAir.com and see all the services that they offer. But the bottom line is, if you ever need anything for your AC, maybe you want to put a humidifying system in your whole house, maybe you need something done with your water heaters, or you're looking at some plumbing issues and some repiping, they can handle everything. And the main thing is, everything they're going to do, they're going to put in writing. Say you have something go wrong with your AC unit, they'll tell you what it's going to cost to replace the part. They'll also tell you what it's going to cost to replace the system. Put it all in writing, let you decide. Then once it gets down to them doing the work, the process is unbelievable. From the time you call them to the time they get there to start to check out the problems, it's 24 hours. If it's longer than 24 hours, they guarantee it's going to be 24 hours. They're going to take care of you. On the flip side of that, once they do all the work and as they're doing the work, everything is backed up and guaranteed. From the work their workers are going to do, the parts they use, the systems they install, the temperature that it gets to, and the way the systems perform, it's all 100% guaranteed or your money back. Why would you go anywhere else? Because that's what you want when you deal with a company that deals with service. Check them out today, VanderfordAir.com, and call them and save the number in your phone, because you never know when you're going to need them. But when you need them, you need a company that's going to be there for you every step of the way. 281-557-COOL, VanderfordAir.com.
It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. T-Mac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
He's going to try his best to stump us, the voice guy said. Taking far less than his best lately.
Yeah, I don't think he's taking my best. This is
the cockiness.
I mean, you're over September right now.
I think he's right.
It's been rolling. We had a couple weeks back at East River 9 and one other one, I think.
Yeah, over the summer. This is our last chance to take a matchup in September.
So yeah.
Let's give it our all.
A lot on the line.
Let's win one for the Gipper.
Who said it? Yeah, give maximum effort here. All right, quote one. The Beatles are growing on me as I get older, but I'm not really a big Beatles guy. They're good. They're just, everyone's like, whoa. I don't know if I'm there with them.
So it's definitely not the morning show.
I think it could be. They're also getting older.
They're already old.
Right.
We're all getting older.
We get older every day.
Today is the oldest day I've ever seen you, Joel.
I don't think that I need you. Your commentary does nothing but tries to steer us off the beaten path.
That's just a fact. I think it could be Lance. I think it could be Dell. I think it could be Paul. Joe. I think it could be Joe. I've only eliminated Granada.
I heard Joe right away.
You think it's Joe? Did you hear him say this?
No, I did not. I did not. My gut feeling when I heard it was Joe. Just kind of the delivery. But that's
let's,
just
let's
that's
go for
just
it.
First glance. You want to go right away?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Well, we got to put a little care in if we're going to beat Brian.
We got a few minutes, and like our strategy hasn't been great lately anyways. Why not mix it up?
Okay.
Let's just do it. Joe George.
The Beatles are growing on me as I get older, but I'm not really a big Beatles guy.
That was my first. That was my
good,
first thought.
Just everyone's like, "Wow,
that doesn't mean
good." I don't know if I'm there.
I said he was on the list.
He
was on my list of everyone.
List.
He was on my list for everyone.
You just made the list.
All right, over one.
You just made Joel's list. All right, quote two. You know, Joel Espada after the game. Did you see him in the locker room when they were about to pop champagne? He goes, "Well, probably not champagne so much as maybe Prosecco, because be more cost effective." But he said, "Because it's division. I mean, you won your division, but let's just pop Prosecco. Let's not spend so much for champagne."
Huh. He said locker room and not clubhouse. So yeah. It's a casual.
Yeah.
Does he go with the... Well, I don't even know the word. What was the word? Prosecco?
Prosecco.
Sounds like something that belongs on a charcuterie board.
No, it's alcohol.
Sounds it's like alcohol. A, sounds like a sliced meat.
You're thinking prosciutto.
I'm thinking a lot of things.
Prosciutto would be on a charcuterie board.
It would, yeah. But he said prosecco.
Can you have... Does it pair well with the...
I have no idea. I've never had prosecco.
Oh, this one's tough.
I agree with what you said about clubhouse.
Like, to me, it would be John, but he said locker room and not clubhouse, so I'm out on him.
Okay.
Just like, how many people know what that? What is that word again?
Prosecco.
Prosecco.
Is Lance going to be cost saving mode? He hangs out with a lot of the big time chefs and the foo foo food and drink.
I think he could be. He's talking about somebody else's money, not his money, or his friend's money. I don't think Joe knows what that is. I don't think Paul does. Maybe he does. Dell, maybe. I kind of lean Lance.
Do you?
Yes, that's why I said it.
Okay. Okay, smartass. My initial take was Dell, but I called the wrong first one wrong, so we'll go your way.
Ugh. I could see Dell saying it, too.
Okay, so which way you want to go?
Let's go Dell.
Jeremy, kick yourself.
Ah, darn it.
You know, Joe Spada after the game,
it's probably worth
him in the
it,
locker
actually.
Room when they were about to pop champagne.
Yeah.
He goes, well, probably not champagne so much as maybe.
Oh, I knew it. I would be 2-0 if I was playing solo.
Would you?
I would, yeah. I really would.
I don't know. You talked yourself out there at the end. I guess you wouldn't have talked yourself out of it if you're playing solo. All right, still a chance here. Three more to go. Quote number three. If you're playing at the AAA level, you're a good baseball player. You're a great baseball player compared to the rest of the world. Cooper Hummel walking into an HEB, you're probably a top five baseball player who's ever walked into there. You being 29 isn't helping the Astros rankings. Sorry, that's just not how it works. Little context, they're talking about Cooper.
Yeah.
Apparently Cooper Hummel had some comments about how low the Astros farm system was ranked after they won the Pacific Coast League Championship.
Man, that's a weird one.
That's...
I don't think the Killer G's would have used this on their show. I really don't think Dell would.
Well, I think Joe would have brought it up.
I don't think so.
Because we're the home of the Space Cowboys.
Okay.
Joe is assistant PD.
Yeah, but they're talking about Cooper Hummel saying that their pipeline should be better than it is.
Yeah, there was a story, too, because Lisa said it to me. There was a story that they covered, too, about the fact that this was a bigger deal.
This one's tough. Whole HEB thing.
Need it one more time?
Yeah, this is a hard one.
All right. If you are playing baseball at the AAA level, you're a good baseball player. You're a great baseball player compared to the rest of the world. Cooper Hummel walking into an HEB, you're probably a top five baseball player who's ever walked into there. But you being 29 isn't helping the Astros rankings. Sorry, that's just not how it works.
I think this is either Lance or Dell.
Okay. They're reading Cooper Hummel out of a story, I was thinking.
What do you mean?
Where are they getting the Cooper Hummel quote from? To know Cooper? They wouldn't know Cooper Hummel. They're reading his name out of
it. They probably saw Cooper Hummel was talking trash to the pipeline rankings and that their minor league system is getting disrespect.
Who's pulling the HEB part of that?
See, that's why I think it's Lance or Dell.
Okay, well, you were on the trail the last time. Which one would you lean towards?
Probably Lance. I'm not sure if this is a show topic for Dell.
You think Lance is going back to better? We used him once already, right?
Yeah, it never stops, Brian.
No. Okay, call it.
Like, I don't think Dell is going to bring this up on his show. I really don't think Paul would bring it up on his show. Maybe if Joe was driving, but Paul's driving now. Paul said, this is my ship now to Joe. So I think that eliminates the HE, this part. I think it's Lance.
Okay.
Let's do it. Lance Erlein.
If you are playing at the AAA level, you're a good baseball player.
Dang.
You're a great baseball player compared to the rest of the world.
That's just not
Cooper Hummel walking into an HEB. You're probably a
right on there.
Baseball player who's ever walked
into You were on the last two. But,
dang.
You found a lot of pitches back there.
I can't believe Dell brought that up during a show.
It's part of what made it a choice.
Yeah,
but
that surprises me. That's what because the sound, like the quote sounded Dell. I didn't think he would bring up on a show.
Honestly, I thought that last part where, sorry, that's just not how it works, like the negativity would have tipped you on Dell, but...
Yeah.
There might have been enough there that distracted from that. All right, quote number four. Oh, for September, by the way. Build it over the ocean so that Taylor Swift can't fly overseas. Taylor Swift is our greatest natural treasure. Or resource, sorry. Greatest natural resource. They should have to pay us taxes for Taylor Swift. She's our possession.
Paul?
Yeah, I don't know who the hell else would say that. I don't think John feels that way. Paulie's pretty...
I've checked out, so...
I just don't want to get skunked now because we just took 3 L's.
You can guess then because I've already lost. I don't care. I am checking myself out so I don't get injured in a game that's already been decided.
Okay.
DeMeco would leave you in though.
Yeah.
Just don't hit you.
What's
in
the difference
the
between
track?
The fifth play and the first play?
Paul.
Build it over the ocean so then Taylor.
Yes, I got it right.
Fly overseas.
I got
Taylor
it right.
Swift is our greatest natural resource. They should have to pay us taxes.
Boom.
Okay. Did you didn't get skunked?
I would have won if I went solo today.
Yeah. There's some argument
there. Did
you
have the first one?
I did. Yeah, I would have had it, yeah.
Well, it's my fault. Could have, should have.
It normally is. It's my fault. Give me the last one.
All right, number 5. You know what? But nobody asked about the false starts. Nobody asked about false starts. I mean, false starts is kind of his... That's his gimmick. That's his wrestling gimmick. The false starter.
Sounds like Joe.
Yeah. We'll go Joe.
You know what? But nobody asked
Lance.
About the false starts. Nobody asked about
false
starts.
Oh, we should have known that. He killed Jeremy this week.
I mean, false starts is kind of his... That's his
what
gimmick.
What are you going to say
that's
about
his wrestling
it,
gimmick. The false starter.
Helena, the intern on the call board, said, I love Taylor Swift, and I, too, would say that about Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift, too.
No,
I
think that intern sending us messages.
We're passing notes.
On the call board.
We're passing notes during the show. It's the first.
Does that count as a DM? Does she just slide into our DMs?
Yeah, she kind of slid into her DMs.
Kinda.
It's all cardboard.
It's a little inappropriate.
It is a little bit.
It's a little inappropriate,
let's,
Lena.
Let's take this down to Laura and go ahead and end this right now. Can't be sliding into the DMs of the talent when you're an intern. Just kidding. All right, 713-780. Not kidding, but I don't think the call board is a DM. All right, 713-780-3776. Marwin Gonzalez has retired the top utility players in Houston Astro history. Where does he rank? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Oktoberfest should rank as the top things you're going to be doing in early October. Make plans for Saturday, October 5th, Sunday, October 6th for Oktoberfest on the Kima Boardwalk. German beer, fantastic. German food, fantastic. Live music, cornhole tournament, stein holding competitions, costume contest, and much, much more. It's going to be a great time. And it's free for you to attend, walk around. So head on out there October 5th and October 6th. Now, beer tickets, beer steins, food tickets, they can be purchased at the event or you can purchase them online today, KimaBoardwalk.com. Some of the beer that you're going to sample, Shiner Oktoberfest, New Belgium Atomic Pumpkin, Blue Moon, Belgian White, Yingling Oktoberfest, and much, much more. Souvenir steins available for purchase right now, KimaBoardwalk.com. The food, unbelievable. So flavorful. The food is so flavorful. Schnitzel on a stick, German beer bratwurst, sausage on a stick, German potato salad, soft pretzel with the beer cheese. So good. Saturday, October 5th, live music from 1 till 10, stein holding competition, cornhole tournament at night. Then on Sunday, October 6th, we'll do it all over again. Live music till 9, starting at noon, and then the stein holding competition at 5, cornhole at 5:30. Get out there October 5th, October 6th, and you can check out the full schedule of events and bands, concert lineup right now at KimaBoardwalk.com. That's KimaBoardwalk.com.
Gonzalez hits one in the air in a left center field. Back at the wall, and it's gone! Tie game in the ninth, Marwin Gonzalez. And it's 3-3 as Gonzalez has his first home run of this postseason.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Marwin Gonzalez has retired. He has called it quits in his pro baseball career. We'll always, always have 2017 for Marwin Gonzalez. Don't listen to all that other stuff that you heard about 2017 and the Astros. People forget that Marwin Gonzalez led the team in RBIs that year. He was the team leader in RBIs the year the Astros won the World Series. Marwin Gonzalez. He retired, kudos to Marwin on a very fine Major League Baseball career. Who are your top utility men in Astros baseball history? And where does Marwin fall into place?
I think Marwin's right at the top, and regardless of what you get into with the video and the trash cans. I mean, look, he had one of the biggest hits in the history of the squad and was game two of the World Series in L.A. Some phenomenal moments, and he's got to be up there. I mean, you guys know more about the longstanding history of the team in terms of utility players than me. I would think Billy Spiers has to be on that list in the top five. I don't know in terms of, like, was some of the guys like Craig Reynolds, Tim Bogar.
Yeah, Bogar was more of an everyday guy. I have a huge bias to those that I saw. I never saw Craig Reynolds, so I can't really comment a whole lot on Craig Reynolds. And I tweeted this out too, and he, like, I don't think Craig Reynolds came up very often because I think he was more of an everyday guy. But a bunch of the players that came up from the tweets and stuff, Jeff Blum was mentioned. Aledmys Diaz was in the conversation. Jose Vizcaino was somebody who came up often. You know, Vizcaino was on that first World Series team. You know, had some big moments there. Yeah. His longevity in Houston wasn't crazy, though. Tony Kemp came up a couple of times. Terry Poole. A lot of people said Casey Candel. See, I didn't think Casey Candel was, like, a great player. I think he was just, like, an awesome clubhouse guy. Like, to be a top five utility man in Astros history, I don't know. A lot of the old-timers said Denny Walling. But again, I never saw Denny Walling play. So, like, it's hard for me to have Denny Walling on my top five whenever I wasn't born. I wasn't born when Denny Walling was around. For me, my favorite one ever, and somebody said Craig Biggio. Craig Biggio is not a utility guy. Like, he was an everyday player. Yes, he started in multiple positions over his career, but he was never a utility guy. He was an everyday starter at different positions throughout his career. Somebody said Orlando Palmeiro. Palmeiro wasn't a utility guy. He was more of a pinch hit type of guy. Mark Loretta came up. Loretta was somebody who would fill in everywhere. Did I mention Eric Bruntlett? Bruntlett came up a lot. I never thought Bruntlett was that good of a player, though. I was never a huge Eric Bruntlett guy.
Jeff
Kepinger came up quite a bit. He didn't spend a whole lot of years with the Astros, though, so he didn't crack my top five. Somebody said Mike Lamb. Lamb wasn't around a ton, and Lamb kind of played it every day. He really wasn't a utility guy.
Who was the guy that we had him? He went back to Oakland. He came back.
Jed Lowry.
Lowry. There you go. Jed Lowry.
Yeah, Jed Lowry was mostly an everyday guy until they called up Carlos Correa, and then he kind of turned into more of utility. Shared some time at third base with Luis Valbuena, but I think that you could put him on this list too. I think Dubon's close. Top five. So my top five, Bill Spiers was my number one. I don't even think it's close. Bill Spiers was one of my favorite players, Killer Bee era. He could do it all. He could play shortstop for you, third base, second base, pinch hit. Loved me some Bill Spiers. He could punt. You don't really do that in baseball, but could if you needed to. Bill Spiers was my number one. Second to me was Marwin Gonzalez. Like, Marwin Gonzalez' time in Houston was fantastic. Marwin Gonzalez was here for 8 years. Marwin Gonzalez, he was here for a long time.
That's longer than I thought.
He was really stinking good whenever you won a World Series. Were there other things in play? Some would say yes. He had 23 home runs, 90 RBIs, led the team the year that you won the World Series. Marwin Gonzalez was top 20 in MVP voting that year. That's how good Marwin Gonzalez was that year. Was it aided again? Whatever. 2,500 at-bats, hit 79 home runs in his career with the Astros. Marwin Gonzalez is my number two behind Bill Spiers. Number three was a bit of a turncoat at times. Jeff Blum. Jeff Blum was really, and again, I'm talking like my time of being alive and watching Astro baseball. Blum's my number three. Chris Burke's my number four. He is one moment, but that moment matters.
That moment
it has a huge weight on my scale. Was Blummer he a great baseball player? No, but he's way up there because of that one moment. And then my number five, I got to go Mauricio Dubon. I'm going to put Dubon slightly ahead of Aledmys Diaz. So Spiers, Marwin, Blum, Burke, Doobie.
Yeah, Blummer had a big moment, too. It just happened against you.
Yeah, so I called him Communist Ezekiel, Blum the other day.
Unfortunately, Ezekiel Stasio had a very straight fastball that Blummer hit out rather easily.
In that marathon game, that was tough. Yeah, I think your list is spot on. I'm with you. I can't reference the guys I never saw play, but there was Darren Erstead considered a utility player?
No, and he wasn't here that long.
Yeah, I think
he wasn't here that long, but he played outfield, first base. You know, they bounced him around wherever they needed him.
Yeah, I think he was only here for 1 year, though.
I don't remember Erstead as an
Astro. I thought he was more than a couple years.
If it wasn't more than two.
Okay.
It was 2 years, 08 and 09.
Okay.
And he played every outfield position and first base. So I think that would qualify as utility.
Yeah.
But 2 year sample, 34, 35, didn't have very good years. I wouldn't have him cracking my top five. 713-780-3776. John Cangelosi, he can throw a punch too. 2971 says that you weren't born in the 80s. I was born smack dab in the middle of the 80s in 1985. Oso, Bill Spires is one. Does Biggio count? No, Biggio doesn't count. He was an everyday starter. Multiple spots, but everyday starter. What about Jake Mariznek? See, I can't use an outfielder only as a utility guy. I feel like you have to play at least infield and outfield. And I'll give you first base outfield, but if you're playing only outfield, I can't call you a utility guy. You're an outfielder.
You could go catcher first base. You could go outfield first base. If you get the luxury of a guy that can play infield and outfield, it's even better. Or multiple positions on the infield.
Like 1984 says Tyler White. Tyler White was not a utility guy. He was not a utility guy. He might have played like two or three games at second base out of desperation. Tyler White was not a utility guy.
What, they call him the Great White?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a utility guy. This guy says Ray Sanchez with the Cubs, talking about the Astros, man. 9695 says Martin, Spires, Blum, Dubon, and Burke. That's pretty similar to mine. And instead of Martin, I think he meant
Is
Martin.
Is Burke really a utility guy, Martin? Though? Because he only played second base pretty much.
Who's that?
Chris Burke.
No, he played outfield. He played a lot of left
maybe
field.
Maybe I'm misremembering
he played a lot
how
of left field because
outfield?
Of Biggio.
Okay, maybe I'm misremembering how much he played outfield.
Now, you could have an argument for only two positions.
Yeah, because he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Biggio, and that never obviously worked out. But I just remember him as a pinch hitter in a second baseman.
Yeah, he played 218 games in the outfield.
Okay, all right,
218 games. He played 171 at second, 123 in left, 70 at center. He played 42 at short, 36 in right. He played 9 games at first, 6 at third.
Okay, very much qualified.
I didn't realize he had that many games at short.
I remember him playing short. I didn't know how much. But he was drafted high, too, wasn't he? Like a first-round pick out
Pretty
of Tennessee?
First or
first
second
rounder.
Tennessee,
yeah, first-rounder out of Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Biggio's heir apparent, and Biggio just kept going and kept going. And Burke probably wasn't a great big leaguer. Like, he had some moments. He was okay. He wasn't a great big leaguer, though.
The offense, I always thought, was something to be desired, but he could play some defense. It wasn't stellar and like outstanding, but he could play solid.
Yeah, he was solid. Evan Gattis, I don't think Evan Gattis is a utility guy. Don't consider him a utility guy.
He didn't play
guy.
Any first, did he?
If he did, I don't remember.
Gattis played either. Just DH catcher.
DH catcher. 3878
says Lance Berkman. Lance Berkman was an everyday starter. Yeah. It might have been at multiple positions, but he was not a utility guy. He was playing every day, mostly one position. 8513, Mark Loretta. I think Loretta's up in that conversation. Kevin Bass is not a utility guy. Oso says Berkman played a few spots, but he's in the Biggio category. I would agree. The fact that Dubon won a gold glove puts him tied at first with Marwin?
No.
I don't even have Marwin first. I have Bill Spires first. Why is the gold glove carrying so much weight here, 2831?
I mean, look, I think in terms of making the top five, it's credible because he hasn't been here maybe as long, but the fact that that kind of personifies his ability to play multiple positions.
Well, especially since he won two gold gloves in the same season.
No. He didn't win two. He was two finalist for two.
Okay, sorry, finalist.
But he didn't win the second base gold glove. He won the utility man gold glove.
Okay, finalist for two adds to the idea of the utility man.
Yeah, but mixing a home run there, brother.
No, I'm with you, but
I think Dubon is creeping higher because of his fielding. Gold glove last year shows how good he is defensively. He is really good defensively. Eric Bruntlett, the OG utility. I think Bill Spires is the OG utility. So Spires, Marwin, Blum, Burke. And Dubon for me, my top five. All right, 713-780-3776. DJ Bianime covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. Joins us next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.